As we say, the life of a minister of the gospel is built on instructions. And today we would be looking at different codes. Codes. I say codes, C-O-D-E-S. Every organization, every strata of human existence, every sphere has its own codes. Sometimes we call it the code of conduct. Things that you observe because that's what you belong to. If you're in any professional discipline, there are things that others will do, but you cannot do. I remember an old Deeper Life tract that we used to read then. It says, others may, but I cannot. Very instructive words. So if you're a lawyer, for example, there are things that you can do that if you do them, sometimes they can discipline you just by virtue of warning. At times they'll even suspend you. And when it gets really tough, they strike out your name from the roll. I remember I was talking to a medical doctor who practices in the United Kingdom. And myself and someone else were trying to intervene in a matter because they said they wanted to review our license. You know, and by the time I was told what she did, I said, but I just felt, it's a simple thing. Something close to applying treatment for yourself as a medical doctor. I see that every, you know, and I talked to a friend of mine who's a consultant surgeon in the United Kingdom. He said, he said, they will remove your name from their book of life. I didn't consider it a big deal. Well, I shouldn't, because I'm not a medical doctor. I never wanted to be anyway. Even if it was given to me free of charge. But the point was, that's the code of conduct. In ministry, we have codes. Things we do, and things we don't do. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, people observe codes. If you're in the military, you observe codes. I remember when my father, for example, became a king. And I wanted to do something to him in the public that I would have done normally. I'm now a king. Kind of felt, you know, what do you mean? But things have changed. And that goes on and on. The president of America, the one before, when he was a senator, he used to use the BlackBerry phone and just touching. So as he became the president, they collected the phone. So you cannot be doing this again. And they had to put some security devices here and there. So there are codes. There are things that you observe because of what you now do. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, he says to meditate upon these things. The word he uses there is the Greek word melitao, used for caring for something, something you care for by the virtue of thinking. It's the positive side of worrying. You think about it. That means something you must not forget. You know what it says? Meditate upon these things. Of course, we use it a lot of times for the scriptures. Meditate upon who you are in Christ. But really, the context of that statement has to do with the instructions that he gave him. Meditate upon these things. What are the things? In chapter 4, he told him from verse 6, if you put the brethren, in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. That means you can have a bad minister. It's your choice to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Then he says to him, refuse. Don't say refuse. So that's an instruction. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto ungodliness. That's an instruction. For body exercise, he tells him, profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. This thing command and teach, another instruction. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example and instruction of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. So he wasn't talking about meditate upon the inhumed scriptures. No. Meditate upon these instructions. Now, do you take time to think through instructions? Ask yourself. To think through it. To brood upon them. Instructions that you were given. Remember, it was Paul who sent Timothy to Ephesus to ensure there's order. In verse 3, chapter 1. Sometimes you have people who are sent from their local churches to maybe pastor a cell group, a school fellowship, a house fellowship, or even start another church. And then they think that they are independent. No, you are not independent. You stay under instructions. It says, meditate upon these things. That is, everything I told you to do, meditate upon them. Give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear unto all. Whenever you find yourself in the work of the ministry and you are struggling, check the instructions you have not obeyed. Because we'll see that shortly. There are things God will never say to you directly, but he will say to the person who is ahead of you. It's just simple. It's not up for debate. So you take those instructions carefully. And you understand that. That's why in Saints Community Church, if you observe how we function, you don't come to me directly to speak to me on matters that involve maybe your fellowship. I said, no, you talk to the person right ahead of you. If you're in the chariot, for example, in this conference, you don't talk to me. I said, go and meet your chariot leader. That's just the right thing to do. Even though I can answer you, I can readily give you the response that you want, but you see, I don't do things improperly. You go and meet the person ahead of you. And so we realize that there's a whole lot to that in scripture. We're going to see that shortly. So, you know, he says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear. In chapter 2 verse 1, he told him, first of all, prayers. I exhort first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He gave those instructions. In 1 Timothy 1:18, told him, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. In other words, when you have prophecies, you have to remember them. That's the first thing. Remember them. You have to know what they are. You have to keep it in memory. You have to use it in faith. And you have to meditate upon them. Use it in faith. And know them. Particularly when the prophecy came from your pastor. When your pastor gives you a prophecy, it has more authority than any other person. Remember, Paul now told Timothy the prophecies he was referring to in chapter 4 verse 14. Neglect not the gift which is in thee, or given thee by prophecy and the laying on of hands of the elders. Very specific. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, it says, stir up the gift that is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So they're the ones. Thank God for those who pray for you, who prophesy, and you receive them for the body of Christ. But you must pay particular attention to the ones that came from those that have direct oversight over your life. Hallelujah. Hope you are following this. So you take, pay attention to those ones. Very well. I tell people that in our ministry, we are guided by prophecy. A whole lot. By prophecy. It was last year that Brother Kola brought my attention to something. He said, remember, sir, in the pointed the year, some things that happened to us last year, and we were doing the body of Christ. He said, we prophesied it that 10 years from now, and it was exactly 10 years. Exactly 10 years. 2015. God spoke to us about 10 years. 10 years. Of planting. With diverse instructions in there. So oftentimes I tell people, remember that prophecy. Look at the instructions in there. You think about it. Where it says to pray, you pray. Don't just go after, oh, and then the light of God will shine. No, no, no. There are instructions. There's a prediction. The light of God's word will shine. But there are instructions. Without the instructions, the predictions cannot happen. If you don't follow the instructions, you cannot see the predictions. So you must know where the instructions are. It says, with them that thou mayest wage a good warfare. Those instructions will be there to guide how you pray. Some will guide you ahead of time in how you live your life. And sometimes, if you disobey some instructions, you may not even be able to reverse the process again. And I don't want to go into all that. That will scare some of you. You may not be able to reverse it again. I've seen that happen in many places. You can't reverse it anymore. Hallelujah. There are some, if you attempt to reverse it, the cost will be so heavy that you just surrender yourself to the failure. So it's good to put those things in mind. Remind yourself. Because you see, whether you like it or not, as human beings, we tend to forget things. That's the truth. Everybody does. We tend to forget things. Because, you know, right, like this conference, everything is turbocharged. There's so much prayer. There's so much study of the word. There's so much emphasis. But the truth is, as you step out of this arena, I say it every year, you go back to a world that did not come for this conference. So don't expect the same atmosphere to be in your office, to be in your estate, sometimes not to even to be in your home. And so you must be prepared to wage a good warfare. Those are very critical things you put in mind. Hope you are listening to me this morning. Remember prophecies that were given to you. Hold fast to them. Praise the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul tells Timothy again. He says, hold fast. Tells you hold fast. I like how Pastor Tokes explains this hold fast. It may not be exactly the literal Greek. He says hold fast means that something wants to collect it from your hand. I mean, it's just very literal explanation that something is about it, and that's the truth. Sometimes circumstances of life, sometimes desires, appetites, sometimes pressures. Hold fast the form of words. Hold on to it. Tell anybody that says it is holding on to do. You have to hold fast to something. You hold it. Hallelujah. I tell our pastors many times, I said, there's none of us that's indispensable. Because the moment that you think that you are doing, you have arrived, there's trouble. You think you are indispensable. A guy once came on television. He had a big ministry in the sense of size and, you know, in the sense of size, impact, influence around the body of Christ. Then he used to preach on, I don't want to give you a hint on who it was. He used to preach on international television virtually every day, the major ones. So it got to a point, he sat down and he was actually saying it on air. He said, you know, what will God do without me? And Brother Hagin said, when he said that, he told people around him, so watch this guy in 6 months, he's going down. And he did. And God has been fine since then. Don't say, but why would you say that kind of thing? The new covenant is positive. I know. It's because it's positive. That is why he went down. Have you ever read that God resists the proud? There was a brother like that. We wanted to pray for a particular preacher. So I called another senior minister just a couple of months ago. And he said, as he said that, we're going to pray for him. We said, we have to pray for this person. The guy says, sir, every time I want to pray, the Lord says that I should know that the scripture that comes to heart, let me quote him well, is he resists the proud. As he said that, we're on the phone. And we all just kept quiet. Don't let's waste our time. And that's the truth. There are times you want to pray. I've had instances I want to pray for someone. And God tell me, don't disturb yourself. Leave this matter. You can't do anything about it. You wonder why. Sometimes immediately you may not know, but later on you now see why. Sometimes we think that the greatest problems in the body of Christ is morality. No. There are some things that are weighty. Brother Hagin calls them spiritual sins. Pride. Some guys are stubborn. Those are things that cannot be cured by prayer. When somebody is just a disobedient fellow, he has to obey. Pride. Say, I resist pride in my life. Say it like you mean it. Come on. Resist it. Resist pride. What are you doing with it? You can't even control what happens today. Why are you proud? You know you cannot control what will happen today. You can't control what will happen tomorrow. So what is the reason for pride? In fact, you can't control what will happen in the next 5 minutes. So what is the pride for? You can't even control life. You can't even control the breath that is in your nostrils. You don't have power over that. So what's the pride for? Hallelujah. The apostles were very, very intelligent. There's Paul and Barnabas. They just worked a miracle. Immediately people were giving them, and then Paul just tore his clothes. Said, no. Imagine if you do that, people think you are crazy. He tore his 3-piece suit. I don't think so. Said, no, don't do this. Please don't do this. Do you think he didn't know who he was in Christ? They are setting you up for trouble. I said, don't do it. We are men just like you. Imagine saying he's a man just like idol worshippers. I tell young ministers, learn to tear your clothes often. I hope you know what I mean. Before you get up and you're running around like this and say, come back. Learn to show how human you are. Let me get back to what I was saying. Sometimes there are things like that that you can't even change. You can't change. Yorubas will say that the medicine cannot reach the poison. That is, the poison has gone far. It has been so poisoned. I can't, there's a way I should have said it. Yeah. It has gone far. That's why you watch it. And I tell you, young ministers, if something comes to you, not once, not twice, not three times, and you are hearing it over and over again, it means you have not been obeying it. Listen well to it. And Paul says, hold fast. It's the same thing he said to Titus in Titus 1:9. Hold fast to it. Now look at verse 15. Verse 14. Let's take verse 14 together. Come on, let's go. That good thing, you are not there. You have moved to another scripture. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 14. That good thing, which was committed unto you, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in you. Look at that. It said, keep it. You have a responsibility to keep the doctrine. Keep it. The word keep means to guard it. Ensure that you are not reading foreign materials. There's a guy like that, very diligent in the scriptures, in the 90s. And then he began to read strange things. And I'll caution him, young man, this isn't what we are being taught. So no, I'm just, a year later I told someone, I said, watch this guy. He's going astray. Something is pushing him. And the funny thing was, they were my own friends. I think I can say this now. In the ministry, who I would bring to preach. While I wasn't there, they would give him prophecies. He was like a son to me in the ministry. And I would, you know, and people saw. In fact, there were times that there was a fellow like that who saw him preach. The guy didn't know that we were related. He asked him. He said, you must know so and so person. He said, why? He said, you speak alike. I could close my eyes and ask him to preach on my behalf. I'm talking about in the 90s. But then, there were friends. They would just come around him. and give him prophecy. Prophecies that I never knew about from the Holy Ghost. Some told him he's a prophet to the nations. That this is just the starting, and the way people started, this is the starting point. What does that mean? To where? This is your starting, this is just like a foundation for you. And they kept saying those things to his mind. I didn't even know. I didn't know. One day, I just stumbled on a diary. Ah! I saw chronicles of prophecies. Ah! And therefore, I've sent you, I've done this. And they came from my own friends to him. I wasn't aware. And I knew that not long after that, that young man was going to go astray. I tried to warn him. He told me some time ago, so I wish I listened to you. But it's been over 20 years. Almost 20 years. It's late. There's nothing I can do. Nothing. So you have to be careful. Like I said, we all forget things. I do myself. We all forget things. Because there will be so much things to take your attention, you will forget some things. That's why he says, keep by the Holy Ghost. That was it. Why did Paul say that? Let's take verse 15. Look at verse 15. Let's take it together. Verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Philetus and Hermogenes. Look at that. Say, you already know. So, the moment you see what he's telling him. When you see people go astray, don't be quick to judge them. Start to watch yourself. So you know that Asia was where Paul had most of the impact he had in ministry. Said, have you observed, Timothy? You know it. That, can you notice, did you notice this? He said, so you have to be very watchful now. Hallelujah. Hope you are listening to me this morning. Very good. Do you watch? That's why I always pray for my associates, my friends in the ministry. May you not be a signboard. It's very easy to be a signboard. You will lead people to where they will obey God and you will not obey God. And that happens a lot to many people. So it was very clear that Timothy was to be watchful. There's one old Yoruba song says, Christian, do not be at ease. Hallelujah. You can't, there's no time to take a break and say, let me take a vacation, let me be on break. One time I was coming back from the United States and it was a Christmas holiday. In fact, I missed my flight. So I said, Pastor, how many times do you miss your flight? Anyway, I missed my flight that day. And I stayed back. So I had to travel on Christmas Day. And because it was a holiday, but I just discovered that I just paid attention to something. That yes, it was a holiday for many of us, but some folks never went on holiday. Because of the kind of services that they render. Pilots, the crew, the traffic controller, air traffic controllers, security, those who handle essential services, and very vitally, the medical doctors, the nurses, the pharmacists, and, you know, those who handle essential duties, even during the holiday, they are a lot. And I said to myself, we also handle essential things. So, in the midst of the holiday, I mustn't take a holiday from prayer, from study, From preaching the gospel. From meditating upon the word. From walking in the spirit. Because I handle an essential duty. So take note of that. It's helpful. Now, like I said, we want to look at codes. I opened by saying that every sphere, every profession, every organization, they have their own codes. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, listen very, very well. Paul makes a very strong submission in verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. Now we command you, brethren. Hallelujah. Some guys don't like those kind of statements. We command you. Hallelujah. How does that sound? What does it mean to command? Command. There was a guy who was telling, he said, some churches, you know, there's so much control. He had finished saying it, I know you like Greek word a lot. So we now looked at the words for oversight and taking charge over the flock. We looked at Hebrews 13:17 particularly, and he saw that the word is control. We have the rule over you. The word rule or ruler means is in control over you. Then he kept quiet. Bosses, we command you. Let me tell you how commands work. Stand up. Sit down. That's a command. It's not, do you think we should stand up? Let's see whether we should stand up. No. So we command you. That's what he said. Brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself. I mean, can you imagine? Paul is giving you a command over who not to talk to. That should not be, that is legalism. That's legalism. That's not grace. That you withdraw yourself. The word there is the word stilo in the Greek. S-T-E-L-L-O. It means to be cautioned. To beware. It refers to stay away. And really, why does he use the word stilo? It's more of a preservative word. 2 Corinthians 8:20 is where you have the same word. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. So this will avoid. So they avoid. Doesn't mean that the brother, you see the brother from afar, you say, hey. It just means beware of that person. Ensure that it's not having any impact on your life. That's what he's saying. So you must avoid, draw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly. Notice the word disorderly, and not after the tradition that you have received from us. You know, there are some folks like that. They'll join a church. And they know that the church has a tradition on the things they do. And they'll just decide to be outlaws. Just decide to do something contrary. He says, from such people, he says, you withdraw yourself. Now, notice what he says here. He says, and does not walk after the tradition. So it's a tradition. Now, the word tradition is an interesting word. It is the word paradosis in the Greek. P-A-R-A-D-O-S-I-S. different now. It's used for what is handed over to you. It's like something handed over in generations. Specifically to you. It's not a universal practice. Paradosis is not universal practice. It's specific to a people. Like what you call something a culture. Now let's see how it's used. Because Jesus actually spoke about it, but not in a nice terms. Matthew 15 and verse 2. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Matthew 15 verse 2. And Jesus now said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Can you imagine? Verse 6. It says, honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So he uses that. You see the same thing in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 3, verse 5, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 13. Notice what he said. So the tradition, verse 2, of the elders, that means a culture that the elders handed over to you. Paradosis. So he spoke about it in this term. In Galatians 1:14, Paul mentions it as well. He says, tradition of my fathers. Galatians 1:14. Profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals to my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. See that same word. Colossians 2:8. So sometimes you can read these kind of words and not apply them in context. Colossians 2:8, same thing. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. So you can have traditions of men, you know, that contradict the scriptures as what they are dealing with here. But then the same man now writes to another church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. I want us to read this one together. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 15. Let's go. I wait for you. Let's go. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Traditions. Says you hold fast the traditions. So in chapter 3 verse 16, it says, when you now see a brother who walks disorderly, he just walks contrary to it. It didn't say you pray for him. It says you withdraw from him. In other words, we have folks like that in the local church who can be called outlaws. In verse 14, it says, 2 Thessalonians 3:14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. So I say, note that man. And have no company with him. So the first code I want to share with us this morning is the order code. What do I call it? The order code. O-R-D-E-R. The order code. A preacher of the gospel must observe the order code. There's orderliness in the work of the ministry. I know I'll talk about this. But it's vital in the work of the ministry. The order code. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says to Timothy, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave. How you ought to behave. We, in the house of God, we don't allow individuals choose how we behave. No. We take instructions. What do we take instructions? As you know how you ought to behave. The order code. How you ought to behave. Because he gave them instructions. How do you ought to behave? How you ought to act? Can't we just be free? Can't everybody be doing things as they like? Not in the house of God. Not in the church. We must observe the order code. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He wrote the same thing to Corinth. 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read to you verse 34. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. And you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest, follow this one now, will I set in order. So in order. When I come. The word there is the Greek word diatasso, D-I-A-T-A-S-S-O, used for the military. D-I-A-T-A-S-S-O. I'll set it in order. So there's orderliness. Do you discover that the orderliness was not a joint work? It was one person or persons giving the order. So orderliness will come from the instructions. Orderliness is not automatic because you are born again. It's because you are under authority. And listen carefully now. Who creates order? Don't say God. It's not the Spirit of God. In that context. It's men who have responsibility. It is responsibility that creates authority. I'll take that again. It's responsibility that creates authority. So, someone who is not, who doesn't hold responsibility, cannot give an order. Or cannot maintain order. In every organization in life, responsibility creates authority. Follow what I'm about to say. Look at your office. Where you work. The managing director of your company has more authority because of his responsibility. Same thing. For example, let's look at a country like any country. I want to try to be very democratic, but and then people believe that things are not going right in the nation, for example, and in the era where they plan coup, and then they know things have to change in this country, and then they go and plan a coup for the farmers. They haven't changed anything. You have to go for the person who is in charge or responsible for why things aren't going fine, because he is the one in charge of running the economy and the security of the nation. And because he is in charge of the economy and the security of the nation, then he has the consequent authority. Every organization. The moment we say, hey you, we vote you in the power, and we say, you will now be in charge of the economy, the security, taking care of lives of citizens. At the moment we give you responsibility, what have we also given you? Authority.
So there cannot be authority without responsibility. That will be tyrannical in many instances. There will be authority emerges because there's responsibility. Even in Lagos, Nigeria, you have street or estate associations. They are all landlords. But the moment you appoint them into that association, where they now run the estate, sometimes they lock up the gates. So if you have not paid your dues, you can't go out. You will shout, 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 shout. They will not open the gate for you. You know why? Because you have given them responsibility to take care of the estate for you. And so with that comes what? Authority. Same thing in many regards. Just like the even lecturers. They go on and on. Even in the boarding house. When I was in the boarding house, I learned that. I learned authority and responsibility very quickly. I was so excited, I was now in Form 1. First day in the boarding house. I was so excited, looking around. So I'm finally here. And then, I just saw a bed. In fact, I think the first thing was I went to fetch water. So, we were having a queue, because this is a Nigerian factor. So, one from three boy brought his bucket before mine. I said, no. You can't do that. We are all students of this school. The guy just, a nice guy, just smiled. He said, you just came. I know in government college we had what you call the week of grace. I never enjoyed it. You see why shortly. The week of grace, they allow junior boys just do anything for 1 week. And how you know it is over? It starts from Sunday to Sunday. How you know it's over? You just hear, bam, bam, everybody's out. And so, while you are still smarting from waking up late like you did last week, you hear a dirty slap, bah! Get up! Out! Then you know that the dispensation of grace is over. So I was still doing that. Then I go to the room where I was located and I just saw, it was smelling. Somebody wet the bed. I said, in secondary school? This person does not deserve to be in secondary school. He was a Form 5 boy. So he said, what did you say? I said, okay. What did I say? Take over there. He said, Gamma there. I said, I don't know what Gamma is. I said, Boah! Then he called one person who was my senior. He said, come here. Give that one a slap. Bah! Teach him how to Gamma. Can you see it? First day, first night. And that's how I was. So I learned orderliness. With your use of words, it's not everything you see that you talk about. Let's go for it. So, therefore, you don't have absolute rights. It doesn't exist. Rights have limits in every sphere of life. And God's house is not different. There's order. Hallelujah. Let me repeat what I said earlier. Responsibility creates authority. Imagine if your line manager at work says, why did you not submit what I asked you to do yesterday? I didn't get it. So, that's true. Yeah, I'll get it across to you. Maybe just let me think through it. Yes, ah. Say, yeah now. Ah. Are we not human beings? Ah. You're human, you're a human being. You have your first degree, I have my first degree. You have a second degree, I have my third degree. Ah. Then they take you to the MD. Yes, sir, I asked him to do. The MD, ah. Mr. Jumbo. Why did you do this? They say, sir, I mean, what did I say? I just said to him and all that, and all that, and you know, the truth is, I just didn't have the time. That's all. And the man says, go and see the HR. He asked you for what? Then they will just call security for you. Because the truth is, you have defied authority. Authority is created by responsibility. If you want to have a say all the time, go and start another company. Hallelujah. I tell people in churches, if you think that you are not comfortable with the things they are telling you to do, you don't even need to do CAC registration. Just go and hire E3 and put people there and do fly and do the, in fact, you don't even need to do that. Just do Facebook Live. Hello guys. Today we are going to share the word. People will watch it. But you need to realize that any kind of followership you gather by such medium, the Yoruba say that a wife that you married in the nightclub, or most of you who are media pastors, you married her in the nightclub. And you're all enjoying yourself. It is the same way that she will go. Hope you are following what I'm trying to say. How did I get here? So you have to realize that authority comes from responsibility. And so, we don't do anything anyhow in the body of Christ. We exercise our functions. Or we exercise, our functions based on our responsibility. I hope that makes sense. Look at what David said. Psalm 131. He says, Lord, my heart is not hurting. It's good to say that often. The word hurting means to be proud. He said, my heart is not proud. That's what David said. Nor my eyes lofty. The word lofty is the word rum in the Greek, in the Hebrew, sorry, R-U-M. It means exalted. That means I don't see myself high. And there are things that tend to blow our perception of ourselves. There are some of us we don't have. I remember something, please listen carefully to this, that I learned at a retreat in 1994, if I remember. Just one word the person said, and it stuck for years. He said, always have a sane estimate of yourself. A sane estimate. That means, let sanity fall on you. A sane estimate of yourself.
human beings are given to blow you out of proportion. You should know that by now. Look at politicians. Look at politicians. If you're in power, if you're in power, if your dog is doing birthday, they put advert in the papers. But the day you are out of power, a guy told me the story. He said his boss was a minister in Nigeria, not minister of the gospel, minister in the cabinet. He will enter the presidential villa, and he was very rude to most of the security people because he was very close to the government. Very, very close to the president, pardon me, as a minister. You know, there are different levels. Very close. Will enter. Sometimes he will bring in his cousins. Enter! Collect pass for them and enter. Then something now happened. He was removed on television. And that's the worst. You get to see your sack letter on air. So he was now going back to the same villa where the previous night he was probably there till 12 a.m. and he said, okay, good morning. Morning. And he walked away. He was now coming in. Everybody had known he had been removed on air. You know, they did it. It was a phanerosis. Everybody knew. So he was coming back. As he was coming, security said, yes. Quick. It doesn't take time. Yes. Please go and get your pass. Please go out. Go back. Immediately. That's life. Always have a sane estimate of yourself. Anything that is temporary, don't think it is permanent. You are not being sensible. Be sensible. So it says, my eyes are not lofty. I'm not thinking I'm somebody else. I'm not somebody, it's me. Sometimes when people say good things about me, and I in my room I just smile. You tell yourself the truth. You tell yourself the truth. You have to outgrow those things. Outgrow. There's no ministry gift I wasn't given over 20 years ago. 22. The what was remaining was high priest. High priest. You are that voice for this generation. People even see you in visions. You have to outgrow it. Have a sane estimate of yourself. They are calling you bishop, archbishop. But you saw what happened at this conference. After 3 hours of prayer, your bishop escaped. You saw it. Someone told me a couple of years ago, he said, I got to a point I couldn't open my mouth to pray again. And I saw others still on fire. That is proper exam. You know, that's how to do exam. You know, some people, they can be do everything in class. You know, they will just be discharging. Yeah, you know, they're talking until the exam. Then when you go and check results, this guy. F, this guy, he was just shakara. People make too much noise. They shout too much. Noise is not depth. Talk too much. You want to organize a prayer meeting? You now do flyer. 24 hours prayer. What's wrong with you? And when your energy cannot reach 20 hours, you want to die there because you already put out flyer.
I wonder, I see people, do they think we advertise complicity that way? We don't. And we've been doing it for almost 20 years. That's not gra-gra. I hope you know something you are doing for 20 years is not gra-gra. That will not pass gra-gra. We will also next year. So just, guys, see what we have seen here. Next year! Hallelujah. He says, my eyes are not lofty. Remember that, only the Holy Ghost we had in 2001, and we died with one brother, a bishop. Let's call him Bishop. Holy Ghost, it was like WCC, but in shorter days. And so I said, we're praying. I led the prayer. As he started, the guy was just diving. And we're fasting. And you know what he says? You don't put it in the pocket. You will know he's not giving to long time in prayer. When somebody do like that, does know that he's not giving to it. If they are told you are praying for your whole day, you don't start that way. Experience start. It shows you are not well trained. After 1 hour. 1 hour 20 minutes, he's kneeling down. Emoji. By 12:01, he ran out. So I want to quickly. He now came back in the evening. Big bread. Sardine and juicy. By the next morning, he had an appointment in Lagos. That one is not a bishop. He's a chop-chop bishop. That's exam. You know some people in our secondary school? They will buy all the textbooks and they will still fail. All the textbooks. The lecturer is talking about handouts. They still put out the money. And they will still fail. You know what? Number one, he will read it. Even if you read it, you may not have the capacity like that. You may have the money, but not the capacity. My eyes are not lofty. That's what David said. Say, I'm not proud. Then what does he say? Psalm 131. He says, neither do I exercise myself in great matters. Hallelujah. The word there, it means I don't delve into matters. I don't delve into it. I don't go into matters. It's not everything that you should have a say in. That's just intelligence. There's order. I don't exercise myself in great matters. The word there is gadol in the Hebrew. It means something more than you. Something you were not given. My eyes are not lofty, he says. I don't go into the matters. You were not given. You want it. Some people, by force, buy everything. They want to be authoritative voices in the body of Christ. It is not something you struggle for. It is by grace. It's not something you now begin to exercise yourself. You now begin to sound that way. Oftentimes that is the beginning of heresy. God who said this many years ago, I won't forget. He said, if God sets you, no one can remove you. He said, if men set you, you'll be upset. Let God set you. 1 Corinthians 12:27 and 28. 28 says, he set some in the church. It's his work. He set them in the church. Don't exercise yourself in matters higher than you. Hope you are listening to what I'm saying. Or in things too high for me. This is a king talking. A king. The word too high there is what is extraordinary. It's not your call. Look up, everybody. Do like this. Do like this. Practice this often. Learn to keep quiet. There are things you don't understand. And it's not a function of knowing context, pretext, and pretense. No. There are matters higher than you. There are matters not given for you to superintend over. When you are in a church, there are things you don't talk about. Years ago, we were in a Christ Embassy service. Because then I used to, the ministry I was overseeing there, we didn't used to host Mondays, morning services on Sundays, so we had it in the evening. So I used to attend the Christ Embassy meetings in the morning. So there was a discipline, I think I mentioned this on the first day, and there was a disciplinary measure the pastor took on the congregation. And he just referred to a meeting the previous day, and then he said a couple of things and all that. I didn't even understand the details of what he was saying, and I wasn't interested. He said, not just I didn't understand, I was not interested, because that is his own sphere of authority. I wasn't interested in knowing, so it was yesterday, who spoke, who did, what is your own? So when he was done, in fact, after that service, everybody went home like a solemn assembly. Even when he called first timers and said, the song he sang of first timers was almost like, holy, holy, holy. So my friend, who interestingly introduced me to the church, it doesn't matter, he came to my house that evening before we started our own meeting. And he said, Emoji. He actually said, Ore. What's all that happened today? I said, what? He said, we're not dead. I said, bros, take your nonsense and get out of my house. What's my own? Am I the pastor? When people struggle sometimes in the work of the ministry, it's because of things like that. What's your own? What's your own? Who called you into it? Are you the pastor? Always observe the order code. What's the order code? Imagine if you're in your bank or your organization, they have board meeting. And then they now ask you to just drop a paper for one of the directors. You are a manager. Then you hear them discussing how they want to do with the shares of the company and all that. I say, sorry, can I say something? Chairman says, yeah, talk. You guys should actually... It's very clear that the people doing you are on vigil. They didn't sleep. People doing your village, they did vigil on your case. What is your own? A pastor in Nigeria was speaking to people in his church about who to marry and who not to marry. I saw some boys. So was he talking to you? Was he talking to you? There are matters beyond you. Matters beyond you. So was he talking to you? He was speaking to the members under him. When they have marital problems, would they come to you? They won't come to you. So, do you think he doesn't have the authority to give them that instruction? Has he defied scripture? He said no. What is your own? Be careful of this social media era where the secular is becoming sacred and the sacred is becoming secular.
What's your own? Hope you are listening to what I'm saying. It's the same thing Paul said in Romans 12:3. As I'm speaking to you, there are matters beyond me. I don't get myself into it. I don't even think about it. I don't talk about it. What's your own? Romans 12. Hope you are listening to me this morning. Let's start from verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, we saw that yesterday, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can we take verse 3 together, everybody? Let's go. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more high than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Is it the same thing David said? You are saying the same thing. Paul said, look at this. Do not think more highly. That word is high-minded. In the Greek, is the word hyperphoneo. 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 Phoneo is an impression, a notion. Then hyper is above limits. You now begin to see yourself above limits. It's the same thing, assuming maybe one day your vice chancellor or your managing director in your company or chairman of your company just sees you, comes here, let me use you, and sees you, drop your Bible number, and then he sees you and say, how are you? How is family? And you two will now do like this. The guy said, oh, he's IMOG. He's like, Like I said, they are doing VG on your case. Said, not to think of himself more highly than the other think. I was telling the young preacher, I said, sorry, when did you begin ministry that you think you know so much? Say like four. It's usually the lower number. So he said almost 4 years. So when did you come in contact with this truth you are talking about? Wow. Say, let's call a spade a spade. Is the teachings I teach that you are repackaging? I know. You just have some extra Greek word, some Latin terminology, some illustration. I know. It's a trick. I understand it. I said, and me, I've not said something. And you are talking. I didn't see anything. And you are talking. That is someone that doesn't have brain. More highly, having an opinion of yourself. Look at the statement he now says. He says, but to think soberly. That's a very strong word. Soberly. The word there is sophroneo. S-O-P-H-R-O-N-E-O. Sophroneo means, there are two words there. It means conservative thinking. To be calm. Sober. In Mark 5:15. Let's see where Jesus used it. It's a very interesting place. That's why it was used by Mark. Mark 5:15. It was used for what happened to a man after he was delivered from madness. So if you are not sober-minded, you are what? You are mad. What's wrong with you? The same thing in Luke 8:35. Be sober. in 2 Corinthians 5:13. If we be beside ourselves, if we be sober, same statement. Titus 2:6. If you are occupying leadership in the body of Christ, say young men likewise exhort to be sober minded. Can you see young men? They will be chatting. Hey, so calm down. What you take over? Calm down. Be sober minded. The opposite of it is to enter markets. Be sober minded. 1 Peter 4:7. Same statement. Be therefore sober. Be sober. Do not exalt yourself unduly. Don't exercise yourself in matters too high for you. Learn the other code. In Numbers 12, we have this case of Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. And they thought that, well, because I'm now a high priest, and the other one fell because he was now prophesying, it's a license to see anything. Moses had just married an Ethiopian woman. And then he began to say, as the Lord, Numbers 12:2, as the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, has he not also spoken by us? Can you imagine that he's the only one? I know the results of my ministry. I know the things I teach. I know the things I see. I see the power of God too. You are silly. You don't become chosen of God by activity. It's not within your rights or power to choose for God who He will use for some specific tasks. It's not given to you. It's not even because you are prayerful. Being prayerful will come from the fact that you have been chosen to do the task, not the other way around. Learn the other code. It's not everything you comment on. It's not everything you see, you think you have the right to speak. Ask yourself, do I have authority to talk about this? Do I? In 1 Corinthians 14, I minister for churches. I travel to places to preach. And I ensure I keep my place. Where I hold Bible schools for different people, ask our pastor, I said, that one is not our responsibility. We mustn't go beyond our authority. They've called us here to teach. Anything outside that, teaching, instructing, direct them to the right people. It's always good to know your place. When you now get to your church, you can now do what you think is right. Please follow what I'm saying this morning. Don't think of yourself more highly. It is only such foolish people that think they must have a comment on everything. Verse 33. God is not the author of confusion, Paul says, but of peace as in all the churches of the saints. The opposite of order is confusion. Imagine that I'm talking now. Just get up and say, okay, Sue, Second Peter, you know, how would that sound? And somebody else says, oh, glory!
That is insanity. Even normal human relations, just because your brain is where it's supposed to be, two people cannot be talking at the same time. Except they are in the bus stop. What is that? One by one. Who's following what I'm saying here? Observe the order code. Who should talk now? In verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Talking about the gifts. That is, where you have tongues, let there be interpretation, let there be prophecy. He said, that is inspirational gifts. So he says, there must be orderliness. One must come before the other. One must come after the other. It's just the right thing to do. Order code. Who is in charge? So, sir, wanted to start a BlackBerry group, WhatsApp group. I said, the question I asked, I said, who is in charge? I said, well, we're not thinking about that yet. A dear friend of mine, they began a ministry years ago. There were several friends. And they were doing fine. I called him, I said, there's a problem here. So they used to rotate who would be the secretary. I said, who is really in charge? I said, well, because we're friends, I said, I foresee problem. Is orderliness. Somebody has to be in charge. All of you should just decide this person will be our leader. If you cannot pray about it and if you have not heard from God, at least use your common sense to know somebody has to be in charge. In a couple of years, people went their own way. They are still doing the same thing, but people are doing their own. See, I told you this years ago. Somebody has to be in charge. Somebody has to be talking when everybody is not saying anything. It's just a code of conduct that's observable within the work of the ministry. Have you observed? Those of you who quote when it comes to the defense of the gospel, say, Jesus said this, Jesus did that. I said, did you observe? That when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, his disciples were not saying anything. They didn't say anything. That is Jesus. They'll say, oh yes, where is apostles? Remember years ago, when I told some people who were ministering together with us then, about 20 years now, I said, the ministry is like a team. So they say, yeah, it's a team. So everybody has their own role. And instead of saying, you know, I have my role, you have your role, pastor has his own role too, you know. There are things we do, he cannot do. There are things he can, When Jesus was speaking, Jesus did not say anything about his ministry until John spoke. Just order. John spoke first, then Jesus spoke after. And when John said, no, I don't have to baptize. I said, no, let's, all things must be fulfilled. John spoke first, then Jesus spoke after. Just the order code. Observe it. Only Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. You will not find any of the, even though, listen carefully to this, now open your ears to this, even though right in their presence, you will rebuke them. But the fact that your pastor is saying something doesn't give you the right to say the same thing. He rebuked the Pharisees right in their presence. But he now put the same thing in their mouth, say, see them, zero man, zero Pharisees, Fatosi. That is for Jesus to say. They never repeated it. Order. Are you following what I'm saying here? Always know who should speak. Not everybody. Look at another scenario. When Jesus rose from the dead, look at the number of people that saw him. In John 20, in fact, the most remarkable was the woman, Mary Magdalene, John 20, who saw him in verse 17. And he even sent her to his own disciples. John 20, 17. In Luke 24, listen very well to this. In Luke 24, if the testimony, the first testimony that he had been raised from the dead, came from those women, verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were earlier at the sepulchre. So they came to tell them. In Luke 24. The first set of people that Jesus spent time in record to explain his sufferings and his glory to were two folks on the road to Emmaus. Two folks. Two. And there's a popular scripture today we use to explain the gospel. Two. But notice, the two were not part of the 12. They went back in verse 33 and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So there was a large number of people who saw him. Paul says there are 400. No, there are different accounts. And they saw him. Several. On the road to Emmaus. But did you observe something? That the explanation in Luke 24, 25 to 27 was even from 44 to 49. In 44 to 49, he included, and you are witnesses of these things. Even though he had made the same explanation to the two. But he did not authorize them. So information is not automatic authority. He didn't authorize them. In fact, notice something in verse 34. He appeared to Peter differently. Because when it comes to the work of the ministry, the Lord is selective. There are things that we can all generally do, whether you are fourfold or threefold. But then God now selects individuals. Just like the local church. Different elders, different teaching elders, but there's one pastor. Always recognize that. Please listen carefully. In Luke 22, he never said, I prayed for all of you. Verse 31, he said, Satan desired to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Again, he picked him out. He was not going to strengthen the brethren. He was going to pray for Peter to be strong to strengthen the brethren. It was obvious by whatever parameters or qualification that Peter was the chief speaker. Very obvious. Though he appeared to the women, it did not become a right for them to talk over the others. Though he taught the two on the road to Emmaus, it was not yet an authority. Authority will always come from responsibility. I hope you are following what I'm saying this morning. Competing with your pastor on knowledge is nonsense. It's a wild goose chase. It's a wild goose chase. It doesn't make you anything. Who's following what I'm saying here? So, the question will now be, so, in Acts 1, where were the women? They just took their own place.
The two girls wrote to Emmaus. We don't even know their names. In Acts 1, several people saw Jesus. They were there when he was explaining. You can say confidently that there's nothing that the apostles knew that those guys did not know, because he taught them together. Who's following what I'm saying here? He taught all of them together. But notice, Acts 1. Verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he had through the Holy Ghost given commandments unto whom? The apostles whom he had chosen. Unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Let me ask a question. Were they not all taught the same thing? Or were they given the same responsibilities? No. Even among the 12, there was Peter. Acts 1. In verse 13, they were all together. In verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and the mother of Jesus, Mary. Can you imagine? She was there. Who else should have been flaunting something? The one who the angel spoke to, the one who carried the incarnation. Yet she was quiet. Fulfill your role and move on. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't extend your responsibility. Ananias did not write an epistle. Oh yeah, go and meet Paul. Lay hands on him. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. Tell the apostles and go away. That's all. Don't now stay and say, so Paul, I need to be seeing you every other week to talk to you about, you know, God, Jesus told me what he told you. So I'll be giving you materials to study. No. Don't exercise yourself in matters beyond you. Don't do that. Are you listening to what I'm saying this morning? Among the apostles, verse 15, in those days Peter stood up. Again, one person was talking. He was the one that said, look, we have to replace Judas. He's the one who said it. And everybody respected the authority that he had. He appointed two of them. He was now numbered in verse 26 among the apostles. Again, the day of Pentecost. Look at everybody. How many people were filled with the Holy Ghost? 120. So when there were questions, what is happening here? If they were today, what men? So just to say, hold on, don't you know what's going on here? Lavra, Keliga, Bagada. Let me tell you what's going on here. The word there is Grossalalalia. Disorder. Who told you to talk? The pastor is there. Keep quiet. The pastor is sharing word on Facebook. You two, you are writing your own. It's a long read. Read patiently. You are tired. Everybody is the Holy Ghost, and they are prophesying. They were, and look at how Luke captured it. They were all filled. They all spoke. They all had 12 tongues of fire, but they were not all authorized to talk. Peter, as the questions came, imagine if everybody was answering each person. Say, all right, you handle this one. Okay, yeah, cool down, guys. What's going on is that they'll say, Isaiah said, then Peter will say, Joel said, now will say, Zephaniah said, there will be confusion. Acts 2, verse 15, 14, Peter standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them. That means everybody knew who should talk. As he stood up among the people who should talk, they knew who should now talk. So the order. That's the order code. Did it mean that the others did not know what he was going to say? No. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all taught by Jesus. But one person was given the right to speak. You can go on and on. Acts 2, Acts 3, Peter and John. Peter and John were at the beautiful gate. They were going there. They were both apostles.
And he said, look on us in verse 4. But who spoke? Peter. Who spoke to the elders? Peter. Who preached? Peter. Imagine if Peter and John would say, hold on, Peter, you forgot this scripture. Let me help you out. Let me help you out. Peter and John. Yet Peter was the one who spoke. Acts 4, Acts 5. You can just go in Acts 6. There were issues. Those days, Acts 6, 1, number of disciples were multiplied. There arose a murmuring of the Christians against the Hebrews. They're just like we have today, marginalization. This was food marginalization. Because the widows were neglected in daily ministration. And the 12 called the mother of disciples. You know, today some people just decide, they'll say, what's going on? Say, when we found out that the food was not going around, some of us just came together. Just came together and we just thought about it, just seeing it, because the Bible says, we will give you scripture, because the Bible says that, we must remember the poor among us. So we just felt that, I even told this brother that, you see, these are things that the church should be doing. I know the pastor is trying, but then these are... Who gave you the right? Knowing a problem does not mean you are going to solve it. Knowing that there's doctrinal problems in Nigeria does not mean you have given the authority to resolve it. Who gave you the authority? Pay attention, please. So I've called the mother of disciples and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among yourselves. Seven men. Honest report full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, whom we have prayed over this business. We give ourselves continue to pray in the ministry of the word. They didn't say, why did you give that qualification? So, reverend, what's the reason for the, what's the reason? Keep quiet! Must he tell you why? But why full of the Holy Ghost, sir? Not full of the Holy Ghost. But why not? Keep quiet! Tell your neighbors, learn to keep quiet. In Acts 11, the doctrinal matters. I hope you are following this very well. In verse 1. The apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. So, the issue arose and Peter now began to explain to them, And in verse 18, when they had heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then had God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. There were people in charge of the discussion. Acts 15. The same thing. It was a debate. Doctrinal debate. But where was it entertained? Acts 15:2. The apostles and elders about this question. Acts 15:2. Apostles and elders about this question. Who did they now allow to speak? In verse 6, scripture says, they came to the apostles and elders to consider this matter. It was not on Instagram. Amen? Or Twitter. Everybody just saying, let me say my own. In verse 7, and when they had been more disputing, Peter rose up. So say, Peter rose up. Say, order. That's it. Order. And then he spoke. And when he spoke, verse 12, then all the multitude, look at it, kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. And when they were done, verse 13, they held their peace, James now answered. Don't you see notable figures? People by the virtue of responsibility were now speaking. So we'll do this, we'll do that. Always know the difference. Knowing a fault does not mean you are going to fix it. Never forget that. Paul and Barnabas were together. Acts 13, to separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where they have called them. Who was the main speaker? Paul. Was the main speaker. Paul and Silas. Who was the main speaker? Paul. Simple. Always observe the context of things. Order was a code that they observed. Acts 21. James was the one who spoke. There will be people who are authorized to speak. If you get to your local church and somebody is asking a question, say, hold on, sir. You know the answer. Let me get my HOD. It's just orderliness. You see this shortly. They come to your home and they are talking. You are the wife. And you are talking, your husband is looking. He said, he will. Order. In Galatians 2, the popular Peter and Paul. Let's even start from somewhere. What gave you the audacity, you think you can stand in Paul's stead? Paul, Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle. You can only observe what he did. You are not Paul. Don't forget the night in Galatians 2, where it happened was Antioch, not Jerusalem. Antioch was where Paul had superintending authority. It's just like a visiting minister coming to your church and saying something that is not doctrinally correct. There you have what? Responsibility. And then he spoke. He spoke. You must always look at the narratives. Why did Paul confront Peter? Very simple. He says in verse 11, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James. He did with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and submitted himself, fearing them which was circumcision. The other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And when I saw that he walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, before them all, where were they? Antioch. And don't forget, Paul being an apostle to the Gentile world, so that from Peter's conduct, there will be an infiltration into the gospel he was preaching. So it was clear. He had to handle that publicly. Fine and fair. But only Paul spoke. Sometimes we can know something, but we are not the ones to speak publicly about it. Only Paul spoke. Always know the narratives. Always know who did the talking and why did he do the talking. In 1 Peter chapter 5, is this a way to say I should not comment on doctrinal matters? No. Just observe. Just hold on. You see something shortly. Verse 5. Verse 1. So we can say order. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom I'm also an elder. So an elder exhorting elders. That's seniority. An elder. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Well, you cannot fit to the first thing he said. He said, I'm also, can you imagine, I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. How? That one is in the CV of a specific set of people. So he gave them his CV quickly. Feed the flock. Who is among you? That is an elder, teaching elder. That's a senior elder. Taking the oversight thereof, and not by constraint, but willingly. Not for feeding, look up, but of a ready mind. Neither has been lords over God's elders, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, shall receive the crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger elders, submit yourself unto the elder. Can you imagine? That means among the elders, we now have elder elders, younger ones. In every local church, you have those who are pastors over some pastors. Always know the lines of authority. Always. It's called order. So what's the order? Know what you are not authorized to say. There's a vast difference between judgment and correction. Judgment means the capacity to discern something, to know, to be able to distinguish. Jesus spoke, Matthew 16, to the disciples. Verse 6, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He said that so often. Luke 12, 1, the same thing. It means watch out. But that did not mean go and collect them. It just means no, take note of this. And that's all to it. Every believer is called to judge every minister. There's no minister that should speak to you and you cannot judge what he's saying. Judge it. Look at it closely. Examine what he has said. But you are not called to correct everybody. There are two different things. Judgment means you are aware of it. You can discern it. Correction would demand authority or require authority. You may have the right judgment, but do you have the authority to do the correction? That's important. He told them much about the Pharisees, how they would pray long prayers. They knew it. They had the information. They knew about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They knew about the leaven of the Pharisees. But they never went out to collect it. Two different things. Romans 16:17. Paul asks believers to judge those who have smooth mouths. Nice motivational speakers. Now I beseech you, Romans 16:17. Brethren, mark them which cause division among you, contrary to the doctrine, which you have learned, and avoid them. That's all he said, avoid. He didn't say correct them, he said avoid. Are you following what I'm saying here? For they that are so sad not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and their good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. That's all. Judge. The spiritual man judges all things. 1 Corinthians 2:15. 1 Corinthians 10:15. To the wise I say, judge what I say. Judge. Believers must be taught discernment. Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the word of peace, for the advent of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the middle of the church, Christ is Christ, that will ever be no more babes, taught to and fro. Judgment. By every wind of doctrine, it's like calling carrier of men, whereby you lie in wait to deceive. You just know it. But he never called you to now correct. Remember, Pastor Lyon and his, some of his colleagues, when they were younger, he came to my house then in Ibadan. He was already laughing. And I just put them on free. They were now talking about preachers. We watched somebody on television. They were talking. I let them dance very well. I said, keep quiet! When did we collect demon from you? Go outside! I think it was a matter like this. So go outside! They prayed till the next morning. The next morning their mouth was shut. Get out! I can do it for you. I'll wind you. I'll make you talk. Yes, that man is a zero man. That man. I said, are you done? Your brain is out of your head. Knowing it is not equal to collecting it. While some are busy wondering what they are saying in Redeem, says community, Christ Embassy, they are not watching their own flock. Face your own flock. Teach them. Face your own flock. Correction comes with responsibility. Imagine if someone, your security, you just discover your security, you just got home, and you saw your son stooping down. So who did it? Is it Abu? You will ask, what did you do? Hope you are following what I'm saying. You will ask, what did you do? That is beside the point. And then as you enter, what's going on? He now takes your son. Bah! Bah! Okay, if you know what you need, bah! Soon, you will miss me too. Oh, I saw what he did. He even stole your money. You can only tell me. And I'll now see your son. He now hanged him somewhere. Say, Oga. I'll beat him for Cain. So knowing a wrong, it is not an authority to correct it. Who's following what I'm saying here? Always know your place. You are still the gate man. 2 Timothy 3:16. I pray for all of you who are pastors here. You go back to your church, go and restore order. Are you following what I'm saying? Go and restore order. So much disorderliness. Around, things must be done properly. There was a year in our ministry was called the year of order. A whole year. Order! What year was it? I forgot it was 2009 or so. Or 10. Order! That's what we're saying. Order! Was it a whole year of order? Trouble ran away. I'm leaving. When? That which you want to do, do quickly. And, as we see, as you are leaving, somebody is just coming. So you can go. Order! Hallelujah. See our pastors. You didn't know no doctrine. They know doctrine very, very well. But there's order. It's order. Orderliness. Not that your church is not like Ojo Oyinbo. Hey. Who is doing you? Bible says there was no king in Israel. Each man did as it was right in his eyes. It has to be order. Sometimes in orderliness, people will call it high-handedness. They call it legalism. Let them call it anything. Just say, you can go. You can go. That's how we want it. That's how we like it. Always observe the order code. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures give my wisdom of God is profitable for correction. So for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God will be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and the appearing, verse chapter 4, verse 1, and his kingdom. Preach the word. The instant is in out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Was this written to the body of Christ? Have you observed all the instructions to correct, stop the mouth, were pastoral letters? It was not in the epistles, though. There was nothing in the church epistles that asked
to correct, to rebuke, not one.
All the instructions to rebuke, correct,
are in the pastoral letters. Because it takes certain people,
mature minds,
to understand what you mean by correct, rebuke.
Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
He said that to a pastor. That's not an open challenge on Facebook. The letters to rebuke elders was given to pastors, Timothy, Titus, within the local church. The chastening to correct, pray for me, we close. The chastening to correct is given to such men. Just like today, the foundational truth of Christianity had been laid. They were separate men, distinguished men. 1 Corinthians 3:11. No other foundation can be laid except that which is already laid. Verse 10. I have built. I. Pronoun. It is a we. Always watch for the I and the we. You are not the I. You can only be in the we. Even sometimes the we doesn't include you. The other code must be observed in the local church, in ministry. You must know who should speak and who should not speak. Knowledge is not access to authority, it's only responsibility. Always know that. Knowing a wrong, spotting an error, is not authority to correct it. But where there's responsibility, you're a pastor of a flock, you're an overseer of a people, then there is responsibility. Then there is authority. A guy was speaking with me on Facebook one day, and we're talking because a lot of people just come in box and they talk to you. And I asked the fellow, I said, he made a comment. And I said to him, well, when he said the wonderful things he was trying to criticize the body of Christ, I said, are you a pastor? He said, do I have to be? All these things, all these people just to just manipulate us and intimidate us. It's okay. Sorry. You know, there's no way you can control a dog that has been let loose. So this brother has it, but no problem. So no, are you not saying? Are you not telling? Well, the brother friend, the body of Christ, you are Christ the body. So is the order. 1 Corinthians 11. Paul taught that even in the home, the woman must be in subjection to her husband in all things. Controversial text of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. He says, look, if they have any questions, let them ask their husbands. Verse 35. See the instruction. 1 Timothy 2. I instruct, I teach. 1 Timothy 2. The woman should learn in silence. Verse 11. No subjection. I suffer not the woman to teach to you or suffer authority over her husband. To be in silence. That's just orderliness. In the home, Paul taught the same thing. Don't go and be reading blogs and websites. I say, you know, that you take your cue from the scriptures. What person is doing the talking? Ephesians 5. Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of the church. Verse 21, the womb, so verse 22, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. Submit to your husband. Simple. Submit. The absence of this will have things spiraling out of control.
I know there's a whole lot of doctrinal malfeasance in Africa and the body of Christ in Nigeria, and I'm very concerned. I remember I was in South Africa, the Bible school, I was practically in tears. I said, there's a whole lot of things taught in error. But error doesn't cure error. Error will never cure error. Don't do the right thing the wrong way. Everything becomes wrong altogether. People have the right message, but the wrong attitude. Approach is altogether sickening. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter says, verse 15, on account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, as according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto him. Look at how he said it. He said, the wisdom given to him. He recognized that. Recognize who is who. Who is what. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things had to be understood. Which they that unlearned, it's not the unlearned. The word unlearned is from the word amathis. A is, don't forget, A means negative, alpha. Mathis, M-A-T-H-E-S, is used for disciple. Two words he uses there. Matano is the word to disciple men. Which means they are not taught. They just get the things on social media, get it on the blogs, get it on the internet, and they begin to say all sorts of things. Unstable men, untaught. There is information. And then there is instruction on how to understand and teach information. There are two different things. Years ago, I was doing so much study, me and my friends, we would start preaching in Greek and Hebrew. I'm grateful to God how order came into my life. And I said, it was not just about knowledge. There are things you cannot say anyhow because you have responsibility. If you don't know this, you should know by now. Pastoring changes you. It changes your narratives about ministry totally. You will know how to teach better because there's authority. Sorry, there's responsibility. When you are pastoring, you will know that information is not enough. I've been teaching people for years and years, and you will go back all over again. I'm not making sense here. In the home, order. A godly woman, let your husband speak first. Let him speak first. Let this person speak. Ah, but the way he talks doesn't talk well. Then why did you marry him? Why did he sue? Why did you marry a man that you cannot respect? You know, and some men can be unintelligent. And some men can be daft. Which men can be carnal? And some men with tempers can be very stupid. The president of Nigeria, can't you see? No parks, where's the president? The governor of your state, no parks, where's the president? And you have to with parks. At the bus stop, okay, can I have another? Let me leave that one. Untaught men, who taught you? Who is teaching you? The young man that you freeze, I asked him, who is teaching you? He said, it's the Lord. The Lord. Who is he? Where is he? The Lord. Which local church? He said, no, God has changed things now. Everything is now online. Unlearned, untaught, and unstable. The word unstable is the Greek word asterictos. E-S-T-E-R-I-K-T-O-S. It is the opposite of something that is steady and consistent. Inconsistent men. No consistency. Same word he used in 2 Peter 2:14.
unstable souls. Four churches in 1 year. In the same Facebook, I said, oh, that's my papa. He's the greatest man I've ever known in the body of Christ. 2 months after, that's my papa. Go and do a DNA test quickly. Oh, my God, my God. Why are you unstable? Inconsistency. When there's no order, you have unstable men, untaught men. I can tell you for free, none will have traction in Nigeria. The power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the growth of the word. We are excited, we are praying, and we are praying and preaching and teaching, but no unruliness, no disorder, no confusion. Things will be done properly, the way God wants it to be done. But God is not an author of confusion in all the churches of the saints. What's that? Peter and John and the apostles, they were young. You know, Jesus just said, are you there? These are men who carried out specific tasks in Christianity that can never be replaced again. Follow the order code in your thoughts. Control how you think about yourself. Control what you see. Control your association. Make sure you don't walk with disorderly people. Keep the order code. Let it be the culture of your church. Keep yourself pure. There's some boys in the 90s. Very knowledgeable boys. But it's clear that they were very, very disorderly. There was nothing they couldn't say. There was nothing they cannot comment about. And I withdrew myself. See, I can ask somehow, but I think alone. I think, this person is a confused person. This person is crazy. This is crazy. This one is crazy. Just withdraw. Withdraw. Keep yourself pure. Judge, but correction is a function of responsibility. Keep your mouth shut. Romans 12:3. Do not exalt yourself above normal. Psalm 131. Don't exercise yourself. Don't exercise yourself in matters higher than you. Psalm 131. See how we ended it. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself. Psalm 131 verse 2. As a child that is weaned of his mother, my soul is even as a weaned child. I quieted myself. I behaved myself. Sorry, I behaved myself. Say, I behaved myself. Order. Don't think because you have a Bible you can talk anyhow. Because you also use his word, you can talk anyhow. No. Or because you have a congregation. No, that's not the license to say anything. Or because you are married to the pastor. After I'm the pastor's wife. So, or pastor's friend. Friendship, being a sibling, does not confer spiritual authority over you. Oversight is authority. I beseech you, brethren, bring back order into your life. Know what you don't talk about. Know what you don't exercise yourself into. And don't allow anybody push you overboard. Men will put you in trouble. Remember David, they said to him, Saul has killed 1,000. David has killed 10,000. It was a lie. David only killed Goliath. Ensure you don't let people exaggerate your importance. Remain simple. Samuel told Saul, were you not small in your own eyes when you were chosen? Ensure you keep your sanity. Have a sad estimation of yourself. Bow your heads and pray. Let there be order. In our lives, order in our churches, order in what we write on social media, order in what we say and what we don't say, order in your zone, in your church, order among ministers, order. There are things you should not discuss in your home, you and your wife. Order. Order. that are too high for you. Order! Don't comment on what people are doing in their own congregation. What is your own? Be order. Don't allow the social media give you license that is not in scriptures. Don't allow access to people's lives make you destroy them. Order. Let us observe the order code.